You're listening to Doc Talk with your host, that's me, Dr. Adam Nally. Listen and learn as we take complex health topics and make them clear, understandable, and applicable to your life. My desire is that you find the answers to the burning questions that you have, answers that will get you back on track, improve your health, and let you be who you are meant to be. Whatever your reason, thank you for being here. I'm so glad you're joining me today. Let's get started. Since our theme today and this month is that of muscle mass and maintaining your muscle mass and your muscle stability throughout your life, I thought I would talk about myokines. Now, myokines are essentially hormones or protein hormones that are produced by muscles themselves. The first myokine was myostatin, and it was identified in 1997. And it actually has a negative effect. It actually inhibits muscle development. And so it's one of the negative myokines. There's about 600 of them that we've identified to date. But the majority of them aren't really significantly characterized. We don't fully understand what they all do. This is an important topic, though, when it comes to weight loss or weight management, because we know that at least 8 of them play a specific role in muscle development and muscle maintenance. There's interleukin-6, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, interleukin-15, SPARC, FGF21, decorin, myonectin, and I mentioned myostatin and irisin. There's a number of these, and these all play a role in fatty acid oxidation, muscle regeneration, muscle atrophy, muscle expansion, autophagy, and all those kind of things. For those that love the science stuff, you'll probably enjoy this. But my hope is to kind of make this a little more clear for the layperson. Now, in relationship to myokines, there's another group of naturally occurring proteins that mediate communication between the cells. These are essentially the little text messages between the cells, if you could call it. And they're called interleukins. We've heard about interleukins before. I've written about them in my blog. Interleukins play a huge role in COVID infections. This overproduction of interleukins, or this what they call cytokine storm, with this huge overproduction of these interleukins, is one of the things that we see. Diabetics and pre-diabetics are overproducing interleukins as part of the inflammatory cascade that's occurring, and so they play a big role. But interleukins, their main job is to regulate cell growth, to regulate differentiation of cells, whether the cell changes one way or another, and regulate motility. They're particularly important in stimulating immune responses and controlling or regulating inflammation. A few years ago, research that was demonstrated in the Journal of Experimental Biology showed that there's actually an increase in plasma concentration of one of these interleukins called interleukin-6 or IL-6 during exercise. This is followed by the appearance of interleukin-1, which is actually interleukin-1 receptor agonist, or what we call IL-1RA, and the inflammatory cytokine interleukin-10. Concentrations of these cytokines, as well as interleukin-8 and macrophages, these actually are elevated after strenuous exercise. So there's this cascade of essentially these little hormones or these little messages from one cell to another after strenuous exercise. This cytokine response is actually not preceded by tumor necrosis factor alpha, which is actually the hormone that drives the inflammation throughout the body. And it's one of the big factors that occurred in COVID. And it's also one of the major hormones that suppresses insulin signal being received by the liver, which causes insulin resistance to occur. So when you're exercising, you're producing these cytokines, but you're not producing interleukin or tumor necrosis factor alpha, and you're not suppressing the signal of insulin to the muscle. And so even though there's a moderate increase in some of these cytokines, the underlying fact is that interleukin-6 in the circulation is by far the marked and precedes all those of the other cytokines when the muscle is strained. So you exercise the muscle strenuously and you produce interleukin-6, and that creates this cascade without causing the inflammation that tumor necrosis factor alpha causes, and it doesn't damper the effect of insulin in the muscle cell itself. So you participate in 10, 15, 20 minutes of strenuous exercise, and the macrophages release interleukin-6 within the muscle, and this leads to an inflammatory response. But it's not the classical pro-inflammatory response pathway that you see throughout the body when you've got an infection or you've got an illness. And so it's interesting that this interleukin can act in two different fashions. It can act in the major inflammatory pathways, but it also can act individually within the muscles itself. And essentially what this means is that strenuous exercise is a good form of stress that actually stabilizes the muscle, causing growth and not actually adversely affecting the immune system. And that's really important to understand. Now, at the same time, interleukin-6 has been released, interleukin-15 has been expressed within the skeletal muscle as well. And it's the contraction of the C2-C12 tubule that actually stimulates this interleukin-15 release. And again, it's another signal, it's another text message essentially between cells that stimulates an anabolic or a growth effect on skeletal muscle. And it takes a part in reducing the adipose tissue mass within the cell. So it actually stimulates the release of free fatty acids in the muscle and in the body to actually activate that fat activation so the cell can function. Interleukin-15, therefore, has been suggested in involved in muscle fat crosstalk. So this cool little hormone as you're exercising is actually telling the fat cells, hey, open up, send out the fatty acids. And this shows that with this particular study done in 2007 by Peterson and colleagues demonstrated that this interleukin-15 mRNA level went up in its replication in humeral skeletal muscle following a bout of exercise, and that it lasted for a couple hours actually after that. This interleukin-15 also accumulates within the muscle as a consequence of regular training and actually increases the fatty acid regulation more continuously the more regularly you exercise. That's why regular exercise actually is more effective than intermittent bursts of it. So then in 2007, Nielsen and colleagues identified that there's this negative relationship between interleukin-15 and truncal fat mass, but not necessarily limb mass. So what that means is that the more resistance exercise you participate in, and it was specifically resistance exercise that did this, and the more regularly you do it, the more your truncal fat mass reduces. So there's this inverse relationship there. So as you become more consistent in resistance exercise or high intensity training with resistance associated with it, then you actually see a decrease in your truncal fat mass, which is kind of important. Now, another really cool cytokine is the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is called BDNF for short. And it's a fascinating little hormone that's produced predominantly in the brain. In humans, it's released from the brain cells at rest, but the release actually increases 2 to 3 times during exercise. Both in exercise and during rest, the brain contributes about 70-80% of the circulating BDNF in the body. While this contribution decreases following exercise about an hour later, in mice actually it increased 3 to 5 times and it lingered around for 2 hours. When further studied, skeletal muscle produces BDNF in response to exercise and found that it produces some of it as well. And Matthews in 2009 found that BDNF mRNA or the part of the genetics that's replicating the gene and creating the BDNF in the cell expresses this in an increased level in muscle after you exercise. But this BDNF didn't appear to be released into circulation. It actually stayed within the muscles. And that's kind of fascinating. What's also kind of fascinating is that this BDNF increased with electrical stimulation. So one of the reasons that I've become interested in HIFEM technology, which is electromagnetic stimulation of muscles, as part of some of our treatments, we can use this for abdominal and gluteal and various muscle groups, where we can stimulate 20,000 abdominal contractions in 30 minutes. That BDNF is released there as well. And what's really cool is that increased BDNF release stimulates fatty acid oxidation for up to 2 hours after the exercise occurs because of that stimulus. And so this is from resistance type exercise or HIFEM type electromagnetic stimulation in the muscle. Pretty cool. We use M-Sculpt in our office, which is one of those forms of HIFEM electromagnetic stimulation, and it's actually quite fascinating with the increased fat mass that you can lose with that particular type of technology. So what's the take-home message for today? It's that resistance exercise improves your muscle regeneration, fatty acid oxidation, fat metabolism, muscle repair, and mitochondrial biogenesis, which is essentially increasing the numbers of mitochondria in each of the muscle cells. So if you're not participating in at least 3 days of resistance exercise per week, I'd highly encourage you to do so. If you're looking for a simple bodyweight exercise program that can be done at home, I'll send you my program for free. Go to docmuscles.com/exercise and just sign up today. And I'll email you a copy of my bodyweight exercises that you can do at home. You don't need a gym. You don't need any fancy memberships. All you need is a pair of shoes and a floor. And it works pretty good. I think most people have that. Anyway, have a great day. Thank you for joining on with us. We'll talk to you soon. If you have a question that you'd like discussed on Doc Talk, I'd love to answer it. I cannot give individual advice or recommendations, but we can answer the question in an educational format and give you some tools to make educated decisions about your health. If you have a question, email it to questions@docmuscles.com. Again, that's questions@docmuscles.com, docmuscles.com. If you are interested in more personal instruction and information on any of these topics discussed here, go to docmuscles.com/membership to learn more and sign up to be a part of my health and coaching services. It only takes a couple of minutes to learn more about your health. Again, that's docmuscles.com/membership.